1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Operators had to activate a backup system when Iranian-backed hackers reportedly gained partial control of a portion of the drinking water system in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. This wasn't the first attempt.
The Cyber Avengers hacking group is also accused of targeting 10 water treatment plants in Israel since the war against Hamas began. Experts say the Cyber Avengers group is becoming increasingly sophisticated. Federal authorities reportedly believe the group successfully hacked 4 water treatment plants on the East Coast in recent days. All of them use software developed by an Israeli-owned company.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Israel and Hamas have extended the pause in their hostilities another 2 days to allow for the release of more hostages. Hamas released 11 on Monday. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is said to be in touch with Chinese health officials about a simultaneous rise in various respiratory illnesses. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Ruggiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Mequon-Thiensville school board member who posted a picture of his marked ballot to social media during last year's April election had felony charges dropped against him Monday. Paul Buzzell's attorney argued that his post of his ballot on Facebook was protected by his freedom of speech. So-called ballot selfies are illegal in Wisconsin, but a judge ruled that the law violated a person's freedom of speech. Buzzell faced up to 3.5 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fines if he had been convicted. A conservative pressure group is turning up the heat on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The same group that targeted Voss with a $100,000 ad campaign says it's launching $250,000 worth of new ads. The Wisconsin Elections Committee wants lawmakers to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. I'm Nate Ruggiehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting some of their veterans back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers back on the practice field this afternoon, and Eric Stokes, defensive back, was back at practice. What about tight end Luke Musgrave? Will he be back this season? Matt LaFleur.
You know, we don't know that. Certainly we're hopeful for that, but we do know that he'll be out for sure the next 3 weeks, and then we'll see kind of where we're at after that.
Musgrave is on IR after suffering a lacerated kidney against the Chargers. Monday Night Football, the Bears take on the Vikings, and Packer fans should be rooting for the Bears. That would help the Packers' chances of maybe getting a wild card spot. NBA, Bucks are headed to Miami. They take on the Heat tomorrow night. The Bucks are 12-5. Thanks to Damian Lillard joining the team, according to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
To make a play for myself, to make a play for a teammate, to create an open shot, to kind of become a threat. So like early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today with highs around 26. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 20. Tomorrow, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 3 above.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A chilly start to our Tuesday morning across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke. So glad you're along with us. Yeah, partly sunny skies on the way for our Tuesday. Not much better than 23 degrees for our daytime high. Thank goodness. Wind shouldn't be too strong out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow we turn it around. We'll have partly sunny skies on Wednesday, 41. Partly sunny on Thursday, 40 degrees. Friday, still partly sunny and 38 before we head into the weekend. And a chance of mixed precipitation, something we're watching. Don't forget, a lot of folks headed to Wisconsin Dells this weekend for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual Young Farmer Conference and Conventions. We'll be up there with you on Friday through the weekend. So we're all keeping an eye on that weather. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, obviously on the way in about 15 minutes with all the weather details. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also joining us on a Tuesday. And you know, it's been a while since we had a conversation about how our Wisconsin meat processors are doing. We heard all about them during the pandemic, labor shortages, supply chain issues. How's it going today? Not just for the large meat processors in Wisconsin, but what about some small family startups? Charity Seebecker's got an interesting story you'll want to hear. Stick around.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at getgreatergrowth.com.
Did you know that forest products provide $24 billion to Wisconsin's economy? Or that forestry is the number one employer in 8 Wisconsin counties? These are important facts that highlight the value of timber to Wisconsin. Coming to you from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Nate Zimdars, and to support the industry, skilled workers are needed. One college that is devoted to educating the necessary workforce is North Central Technical College in Anago. Logan Wells is the wood science instructor at the college's Wood Technology Center of Excellence. He speaks about his program, the career opportunities available in forestry for his students, and how this will support the industry. Tell me about your forest science program at North Central Tech.
North Central Technical College has a wood science program stationed at the Anago campus. So the main NTC campus is in Wausau, Wisconsin. We have a special facility called the Wood Technology Center of Excellence. And this training center has all of the state-of-the-art equipment and focuses on all the career skills needed along the forest product supply chain. So from the moment the tree is cut, all the way to making finished products, we go over all the skills and steps in that process. We have a 2-year associate degree that focuses on every class that we offer. Again, what do we do with the byproducts, the sawdust, the bark, all the way to making a finished product and a business plan to go with that. That's our 2-year associate degree. The 1-year technical diploma focuses kind of the meat and potatoes. What are some of the key pieces of equipment and the basics of wood science? It doesn't have some of the other gen ed classes in that program. And then the third program option that we have under the wood science department is a certificate. So certificates are 2 to 3 classes that focus on a specific area of the industry that somebody wants to learn about. They can be as short as 4 weeks or as long as a semester, 16 weeks.
What makes your facilities for wood science unique?
The wood technology program we have is one of a kind in the state and in the country even, because we encompass the entire supply chain from when the tree is cut down all the way to making finished products and the business plan. So there are other cabinetry and furniture-related programs. We talk a little bit about that in our program, but that's maybe 10% of what we do. We encompass all of the primary end. So when I say primary, the primary forest products industry is when we take a log or round wood that we harvest from the forest and turn it into an intermediary product. So whether that's lumber, veneer, or strands for like OSB, those are primary products meant to be manufactured once more into finished products. And so That would be the secondary side of the industry when we take that lumber and we turn it into a piece of furniture. Again, makes our program unique is telling the story of that entire forest product supply chain and then also the hands-on nature of our program with the state-of-the-art equipment.
What are the most common careers in Wisconsin forestry right now?
One of the challenges we have with marketing our program, when we say we go to school for a wood science associate's degree, what does that look like as a career path? And so we've been hosting an open house that exposes prospective students to different careers in the industry. So we've got alumni that work in sales and marketing, that work in product research and development, quality control, but also on the primary side, running a sawmill, turning logs into lumber or veneer. One other really cool position is a kiln operator. So when the tree is cut down and sawn into lumber, all that lumber needs to be dried before it can be turned into a finished product. And there's a role for somebody who understands the drying rate. I kind of compare it to every species and product, whether that's the thickness of the lumber or grade, is dried to a special recipe, and we call those kiln schedules. And a kiln operator understands how the wood is drying and can produce high-quality product and dry lumber quickly to help save the company money.
So what careers are you specifically focusing on for your students, or are you just trying to provide them the basic knowledge and then what they do with it after they graduate is completely up to them?
The way we like to approach it is that students are learning about career paths, and there's hundreds of options that they can follow within the wood industry. So they're learning skills like lumber grading and, again, CNC router, how to write computer code and machine wood parts to specific tolerances, setting up molders. So they're learning a whole host of career skills with hundreds of career paths, and it's really up to the student on what do they find interesting, what are they good at, enjoy, and finding the position in the area they want to live. Those all factor into it. So it's not just one position that our associate degree and technical diploma and certificate students are going into. It's a whole career field.
Are there certain pathways within forestry that you're seeing more of your students gravitate towards?
Quality control is probably one of the most pursued by a lot of our graduates. So by quality control, working with a company that mass produces, say, plywood or flooring or any of our wood products, could be cabinet doors, you name it. And our graduates have this wood background that helps them troubleshoot manufacturing issues. And then they also have this hands-on experience with running equipment and understanding technology, and they're able to troubleshoot. So that's one of the areas that our alumni are really competitive in, is quality control type roles. Another one would be customer support and in a sales role. So our graduates have worked with different wood materials. They have a great depth of knowledge that allows them to provide top-notch customer service. And again, help troubleshoot. They use this knowledge base of how trees grow and wood cell structure and are able to apply that to industry and help people use wood products. So two career paths, quality control and customer support. Again, a little bit of research development, design. We've got a number of alumni that have worked with like designing interior spaces. So again, they've got this materials background. They understand SketchUp and other drafting softwares. They know how to build. So it makes them very desirable from an industry perspective. They love our graduates and all the skills that they can bring when they graduate.
Why should people consider pursuing careers in forestry?
I've got a host of regions that I pitch for why people should consider a career in the forest products industry. One reason is the technology. So when we look at being able to do more with less people, we have some amazing innovations coming our way. And so one of those I explain to students is being able to design parts on a computer. So we call that CNC, computer numeric controlled, where you can design a product or a sign on the computer, and then you're able to program that in a CAM software, which stands for computer-aided machining. And what that does is it allows us to design a product on the computer and then tell a router where to cut, what tool to cut with, how to use that as far as how fast to go, and then we can create really unique parts with tight tolerances and repeatability. Other areas of technology, we use robotics. In our industry, we use artificial intelligence and machine learning. One other really cool one is CT scanning. So for our high-end logs, there is a scanner that does like a 360-degree picture and a scan. Just like if you were to get injured and have a CT scan, we do that same process with logs to look and see what's on the inside. And we can identify all the defects, if there's any holes or rotten spots. And then using the information from that scan, figure out what is the best way to saw that log to maximize the dollar value and maximize the product we get out of it. So tons of really cool technology going into our field, and we're looking for bright young minds that are excited to work hard and innovate our industry. The other side, another reason that I would promote a career in the forest products industry, we talked about sustainability. So again, our consumers are caring more and more about the products they use and where is it environmentally friendly? Does it hurt the environment? And it's kind of cool. When we use forest products, we incentivize continuing to grow trees, and it boosts our management. We do not have a deforestation problem. We have unutilized. So the biggest threat our forest face is not being overutilized, but actually being underutilized. When we use our forest products, we're able to pay for the management, and there's that economic incentive to continue to manage our forests and help them stay healthy. If we don't have an incentive in the market or a use for our forest products, then we cease to manage our forests, or we see a land use change, which doesn't keep forests as forests. A managed forest is a healthy forest, and we're able to keep growing healthy trees for the future.
Dedicated instructors like Logan Wells, who have access to state-of-the-art educational facilities, are helping to support Wisconsin's forestry industry as it continues to grow. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Nate Zimdars.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Endless hot water for your home with a new Rinnai water heater from Benjamin Plumbing.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses, I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yes, it is. On a very brisk start to a Tuesday morning, time to find out if we are going to warm up at all or if this is something we got to dress for in the long run. Stu Munk, our ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. Yeah, this was a little bit of a smack in the face this morning. I think I would have been fine if there wasn't just a little bit of a breeze. I mean, it's not a substantial wind out there, but it's noticeable.
That's a little breeze, and you add that to temps that are, you know, down there, double digits. My friend John texted me a minute ago. He had 9 degrees.
Yeah.
So it feels a little wintry this morning.
Now, the good news is, at least, you know, if we're looking short term, we can tie a knot and hang on, and things start turning around as soon as tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, it does turn around. In fact, we'll start seeing that change tonight. It won't get nearly as cold overnight. Well, today's daytime high may get to be a normal nighttime low. Normally, right now, this time of the year, we should all be at about 39 degrees for a daytime high, and the nighttime low should hold on at about 24. That's what I expect will be our high today. We'll be lucky to get there toward the mid-20s. So kind of a cool day, no doubt. But in the nighttime, a warm front swings through out of the west. That warm front still back in the Dakotas down toward Nebraska and Kansas today. As it moves in tonight, our winds begin to shift. In fact, even late this afternoon, start turning to the southwest. Southwest winds overnight get a little stronger. It'll be breezy tomorrow morning. But that southwest wind, even with gusts up toward 25 miles per hour or more, will be bringing mild air north. So our temperatures don't cool off as much overnight and can warm up more so into the day Wednesday. Still a little breezy. I mean, up to 15 or 20 mile per hour wind gusts for Wednesday. But with the southwest and west wind expected, that more mild air is able to build in, those temperatures will indeed be pushing back to more normal levels in the upper 30s. That sounds great. A nice little warm-up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, still in the mid and upper 30s right on into the weekend. I don't have to talk about precipitation, even though a very weak cool front does slip through here later Thursday on toward Thursday afternoon or evening. That just cools us off a few degrees for Friday. That's about the only change. But in the weekend, low pressure building in again from the west, most likely staying a little further south. But I expect that one could mean a little rain chance toward late Saturday, more likely Saturday night or into the day of Sunday, a little rain as we wrap up this next weekend coming up. But those temps upper 30s and low 40s with that bit of a rain chance edging in. So that sounds a little above normal. Shouldn't be the worst. Maybe helping to clean up what's frozen down or become kind of sloppy with the snow we have around, at least for today. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
It's as simple as 1-2-3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot. agtrucktrader.com.
Today's consumers have a lot of questions about where their food comes from and how it's produced. And that's all we talk about. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and at the Midwest Farm Report, all we do is try to make sure you've got clear information on what Wisconsin farmers are doing today to put food on your table tomorrow. It's not about eat this versus that, but instead giving you the information you need to make smart decisions as a consumer. Join us at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter. All righty, Stu, let's have some more details. Let's bring them the good news. We'll tie a knot, like I said, and get through today. But the best part is it warms up tomorrow.
It does start to warm up, but then again, I'll say it. It comes with the wind. It gets a little bit more windy overnight and into tomorrow, but that's going to bring that mild air in. Today, more of a partly sunny day and a cool one. At best, will be around 24. You may even hold a degree or two below that. Northwest winds about 5 to 10. They become southwest as we head through the afternoon. Overnight then, mostly cloudy, more breezy. We only drop back to about 20 or so for a while. Southwest winds a good 5 to 15, even gusting to 25 or 30. Start pumping that mild air in. More sunny skies then for Wednesday. Upper 30s, maybe a 40 here or there. The west winds at 5 to 15. And even Thursday, partly sunny. Upper 30s, 38, 39. Southwest winds 5 to 15, becoming northwest as we look toward Thursday afternoon. That does cool it off a couple of degrees for Friday, you know, mid-30s then. But still, we hold on to those mid and upper 30s, Pam, right into the weekend. So I think we can all put up with a little breeze because it's bringing in some more mild air.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, suffer today and get the benefits, hopefully, by tomorrow. Good enough. All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see what happens.
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
All right. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist with the weather details that you are looking for. Yes, it is brisk out there. Thank you, all of you that are telling me that we're into single digits. I see right here in Madison, if you factor in the wind that's out there, we are at zero. So like Stu said, definitely a little cooler than what would be on average. How average are the markets on this Tuesday morning? Our man, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, steps in after we get halfway through, and he is going to give us his perspective. We're about wrapped up as far as this year's harvest in Wisconsin is concerned. I've got those numbers on the way. And we're also going to talk about a Wisconsin meat processor. How long has it been since we really took a pulse of our Wisconsin meat processors? They were in the news during the pandemic. One family decided after the pandemic to get into the retail side of that. Charity Seebecker's got the story coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Operators had to activate a backup system when Iranian-backed hackers reportedly gained partial control of a portion of the drinking water system in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. This wasn't the first attempt.
The Cyber Avengers hacking group is also accused of targeting 10 water treatment plants in Israel since the war against Hamas began. Experts say the Cyber Avengers group is becoming increasingly sophisticated. Federal authorities reportedly believe the group successfully hacked 4 water treatment plants on the East Coast in recent days. All of them use software developed by an Israeli-owned company.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Israel and Hamas have extended the pause in their hostilities another 2 days to allow for the release of more hostages. Hamas released 11 on Monday. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is said to be in touch with Chinese health officials about a simultaneous rise in various respiratory illnesses. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Mequon-Thiensville school board member who posted a picture of his marked ballot to social media during last year's April election had felony charges dropped against him Monday. Paul Buzzell's attorney argued that his post of his ballot on Facebook was protected by his freedom of speech. So-called ballot selfies are illegal in Wisconsin, but a judge ruled that the law violated a person's freedom of speech. Buzzell faced up to 3.5 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fines if he had been convicted. A conservative pressure group is turning up the heat on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The same group that targeted Voss with a $100,000 ad campaign says it's launching $250,000 worth of new ads. The Wisconsin Elections Committee wants lawmakers to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting some of their veterans back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers back on the practice field this afternoon, and Eric Stokes, defensive back, was back at practice. What about tight end Luke Musgrave? Will he be back this season? Matt LaFleur.
You know, we don't know that. Certainly we're hopeful for that, but we do know that he'll be out for sure the next 3 weeks, and then we'll see kind of where we're at after that.
Musgrave is on IR after suffering a lacerated kidney against the Chargers. Monday Night Football, the Bears take on the Vikings, and Packer fans should be rooting for the Bears. That would help the Packers' chances of maybe getting a wild card spot. NBA, Bucks are headed to Miami. They take on the Heat tomorrow night. The Bucks are 12-5. Thanks to Damian Lillard joining the team, according to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
To make a play for myself, to make a play for a teammate, to create an open shot, to kind of become a threat. So like early in the season, those passes wasn't there. Now 10 games, 15 games later, the passes are there.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today with highs around 26. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 20. Tomorrow, high of 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 4 above.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion into your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God. Okay.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides
sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Play Minnesota and Seattle.
Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's one of our specials of the day coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Don't forget today, also the Dairy Insights Summit, hosted by professional dairy producers of Wisconsin, starts this morning at 9:30 a.m. at the Sheraton Hotel, focused in on what we're doing as far as a global population when it comes to wasted food and food surplus, also taking a look at innovation and change in how we handle food waste. That's today, 9:30 until 4:30, the Sheraton Hotel, pdpw.org, has the details. I'm Pam Yankee, tickled to have you along with us on this, the 28th day of November. On this day, in 1951, Wisconsin's Athletic Hall of Fame began. They did their first induction ceremony. 14 athletes that were inducted in to the inaugural class of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. They did it at the Milwaukee Arena. Inductees included baseball greats Ginger Beaumont, Addie Joss, Kid Nichols, and Al Simmons. Boxer Richie Mitchell, bowler Charlie Daw, college football coach Bob Lupke, and football greats Clark Hinkle, Don Hudson, Ernie Nevers, Pat O'Day, and Dave Schreiner. Sprinter Ralph Metcalf also inducted, and wrestler Strangler Lewis, all part of the inaugural class of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame on this day back in 1951. On this day in 1964, NASA launches Mariner 4. It was the first spacecraft to do a flyby of Mars. Happened on this day back in 1964. Couple birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actor Ed Harris, 73 years young, and comedian John Stewart, 61 years young. And now you know, been a little while since we focused in on Wisconsin's meat processing industry. It was front and center during the pandemic, facing labor shortages, supply chain issues. But what's happening today, and what about not just our larger meat processors in the state, but the mom-and-pop operations, or maybe the startups? Charity Seebecker gives us one story and kind of walks us through the challenges they've had to overcome and where they stand today.
During the pandemic's peak, as pork plants shut down, farmers faced challenges harvesting hogs. However, one person stepped up to provide an outlet for these farmers in her area. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. Carrie Ritalik and her family started their business known as The Meat Shop in 2021. They collaborated with small locker plants across the state and ensured that surplus pigs reached food banks. Now, a few years later, post-pandemic, Ritalik says they are able to serve friends and neighbors in Lancaster and surrounding communities with locally grown, farm-fresh beef and pork from their family farms to your dinner table. She explains more about the obstacles that she had to overcome to get this business going.
Well, we started right after the end of the pandemic, really. And the reason why we started it is goes back to my work with Wisconsin Pork Association. What we found was we had producers that could not get loads of hogs to harvest due to shuttering of plants. And so we worked with several small locker plants throughout the state to assist us in getting those pigs to harvest and then utilizing that meat to get to food banks throughout the state. And with that, we talked about looking at a retail operation, and it was decided that that seemed to be a pretty big risk. So that was something that we looked at in the future of having to utilizing that as an avenue to provide local fresh meats to consumers in the tri-state area and opening a retail shop in Lancaster because there was a site available. And we just thought it was a beautiful building that had been renovated, and we wanted to be able to utilize that. And when we first started, we really were only looking at having like frozen retail product, but that has since gone into having our fresh case, having some lunches, and now moving into utilizing that whole farm-to-table experience with the opportunity to have a restaurant that it connects right to the meat shop.
What has been the greatest challenge that you faced in these first 2 years?
I think just not knowing what we don't know. There's just so that it's been a steep learning curve. There's a lot of things that you need to learn about the business. And we constantly are learning about it and doing better with that. I think it's challenging to have the balance of how many people you need to have for both areas and the workforce, and then just making sure that you want to make sure that you keep up with all of the rules, regulations, and guidelines that are associated with that.
That was Carrie Ritalik, owner of the meat shop in Lancaster. She says being able to provide locally sourced food for people in her community is the real why behind the business. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot. Agtrucktrader.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com. Innovation.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was up 3 cents at 147. 40-pound block cheese gained 2 at 161. AA butter stood still. Right now, December corn is up a penny at 456. January beans are up 6, 1335. July new crop wheat up 3.5, 592. December milk right now is up a dime, 1646 a hundredweight. Looks like the harvest is about done across the state of Wisconsin. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, 85% of our corn for grain had been harvested as of Sunday, basically where we were at this time a year ago and right on our five-year average. The moisture in that corn was about 19%. 98% of the soybeans are wrapped up and 97% of the winter wheat has emerged. In fact, they're calling that crop 66% good to excellent. 75% of our fall tillage got done, 8 days behind last year. Some congratulations this morning to three college students that are going to become a part of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and the Ag in the Classroom efforts as interns. They announced yesterday that Madison Henderson, who grew up on a farm in Racine County, currently a freshman at Iowa State, will be part of the Ag in the Classroom program as their intern starting next spring and summer. Callie Hill, who grew up in Princeton, Minnesota, currently a junior at UW-River Falls, will become the leadership and programs intern for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And LaShawna Vogel, who grew up in Denmark, currently a junior at UW-River Falls, will be their communications intern at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation beginning next spring into the summer. Congratulations. All right, coming up next, we want to give them plenty of time to break it down for us. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, stepping in to give us an update on what he sees developing in the marketplace. Stick around for that conversation.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Vet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy. You'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, the red out there this morning is a reaction to the cold temperatures. Yeah, we're down to single digits if you're lucky. A lot of folks right at zero on a Tuesday morning. But like we said, the good news is by tomorrow afternoon, we will be back up closer to 40 degrees, which is a little bit above normal for this stage of November. Well, it's time to pivot and let's find out if the markets are cold and frosty or warm and fuzzy as we start our trade day. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joins us again this morning. Remember their website, please, totalfarmmarketing.com. Just spell that all out. Or if you want to call, you're welcome to 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. Well, John, it looks like as far as the cattle complex was concerned, cold and frosty is the way the direction is taking the trade this morning, huh?
Yeah, very much so the last handful of sessions. And realistically, since the first part of September, when we peaked the cattle market out here for the fall, and the money's been moving away from the cattle market pretty aggressively, and it's really accelerated starting Friday last week with that shortened trading day for the holiday week, and then the follow through here yesterday. We've really seen just kind of a bludgeoning in the cattle complex as the money's just fed. We're tired of this process. We want to be out of their long positions, and we're seeing that kind of happen here. You go look at the December live cattle contract, you know, down significantly. It was trading 174 Thursday morning. We're at 168 now. We've lost over $5 there. Feeders lost over $13 in the last two sessions. But realistically, you go back to the high. We're 192 in mid-September on the December contract. Now we're down to 168. So you can see the fact that the futures market really has tumbled. So we've seen some things change, but the cattle picture still does overall remain tight, but this has just been a pure product of money flow and maybe just a change in the mindset of the funds.
Well, and I get that. I understand that they've only got so much tolerance in a market that's been just vertically inclined all for the past, like you said, couple of months. But let's honestly take it back to the farm gate, because for people that have four legs and a mouth out there that they have to decide, am I feeding it? Am I marketing it? Tell me, John, is this just a short term bellyache by funds, or am I missing a bigger picture on overall cattle numbers, processing rates, consumer buying?
It's a combination of all those things kind of probably coming together here. Now, let's just go back to the last two cattle on feed reports. You know, we saw those heavy placement numbers come back on the just October report, followed up by a heavier placement number on the November report. Now, that was a little bit below expectations, but still 4% over last year in terms of cattle going into the lots. It seems like we've found some import cattle from Canada and Mexico to kind of fill some of those demands in terms of filling those lots up to a certain point. We did get that break in corn prices, so some of the values were still there, at least in terms of some of the input costs kind of came back a little bit. You know, still hard to pencil when you look at the the prices that we are seeing and the cash prices that were still out there overall in terms of what the feeder costs were versus the finishing prices that were on the board made it very, very difficult. So it became a combination of factors there. Add into, let's go to the macro side of things. Obviously, inflation has been a big part of the process in terms of what people have been talking about, what we've been seeing, and, you know, people, the consumer at the grocery store. Now, the demand still is holding in there. You're looking at carcass value still pushing the $290, the $300 for the choice carcass. That's still historically high. But at the same time, you're also starting to hear the talk of inflation coming down, inflation slowing. And I think that's affecting the commodity space overall, not just the cattle market, but of the ones that were out there in terms of the commodity factor. Cattle was probably the most overinflated, at least according to the funds who have been sitting long this market basically since COVID bottom back in 2020. And they just feel like it's time right now that maybe that price needs to come down. Now, how's that coming back to the producer? We are seeing cash prices starting to slide, but they are still fairly firm. I'm 177 last week, seeing them some earlier, 175 this week. You know, so the cash market's still trading well above the futures as we got a little bit of a disconnect here between the two. Now, longer term, I still think we got some room in this cattle market to at least make some recovery. I'm not sure if the highs I'm pretty certain maybe the highs might be in for a while. We'll have to see. The January inventory report will be a very big number for me to watch. Have we seen any expansion? Has the cow herd improved? Everything I'm hearing from talking to producers, chatter in the industry, is the answer is still no in that regard, just because of weather conditions, still the high cost of inputs, things of that nature. So the cattle supply might still be very, very tight, but at least right now, over the next handful of months, it just feels like the cattle market's kind of lost the interest of where the money wants to be.
How can we trace, or how can we keep track of outside cattle coming into the United States, John? Is there an area that we can monitor when it comes to how they're sourcing those cattle on feedlot?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question. It's one number I haven't figured out myself either, you know, in terms of where it comes from. I'm assuming that I can look through some of the import data from the USDA, and it's probably out there in that regard. You know, again, it's, you know, bringing cattle across the border is one thing in terms of hauling them in. It's not like we're counting bushels of grain, you know, being moved, put on a boat. But obviously there was the flow there because we just don't have the cattle here in the feeder lot and the feeder side of the equation. That's why we saw the move in the feeder prices at where we were, and they could source those cattle from different location and bring them in. So again, not an easy number to track. I guarantee it's out there somewhere. I could do some digging and probably find that for you if you need to.
No, just like I said, if I'm in the beef market right now and I'm trying to pencil out 2024, knowing what's going on, they're kind of important. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us again. Their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And I want to remind you again about that toll-free number, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. Quick pivot towards our grain trade, John. That has been moving around in fits and jerks. Again, I understand the holiday cycle, but now it really does seem like almost prematurely we are casting all attention on what's going on in South America.
Well, now that's the big focus, obviously, because, you know, that's the next major crop coming at us, especially in the soybean market. So we're still watching that weather. We've seen some improvement, but you get mixed reviews. Again, you understand how big South America or Brazil is, the largest state of Mato Grosso, 6.5 times the size of the state of Iowa. You know, that's just one province of the, you know, the whole nation that's producing soybeans. So some areas are picking up some moisture. We've seen that. That's kind of caused the soybean market to pause. Got us a little bit more export demand because of that late planting window, so we've kind of seen that happen. Trouble is when that export window closes here, which right now looks like it's going to be in the end of January because we're seeing Chinese purchases of beans for February, March delivery out of South America at a much cheaper price level. Brazil's losing some crop. Argentina is going to be back to full speed, it sounds like, this year. We're going to have a record supply of soybeans coming out of those countries. Again, it still concerns me for the spring, so producers, make sure you're taking advantage of opportunities when you got them now.
Absolutely. Well, and as far as risk management, now is a good time to be talking about it. That's for sure. I was looking at new crop prices for next year as far as corn and beans. And, you know, it's a number. At least you got a number if you want to start risk management planning now.
Very much so. Put that pencil to it right now. Make sure you're covering some inputs for next year. You know, $13 on beans or $12.86 today is not a bad place to start. You know, $5 isn't what we want to start maybe at corn, but it's a lot better than the fours if we get those big supplies that could come out of those countries down below. Mm-hmm. You know, those fours look like possibilities.
Yeah, good deal. All right, John Heinberg along with us on a Tuesday morning. As always, valuable information. He's got plenty for you. If you want to contact him directly, you can email him, John H. at totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, like I said, the full resources available, totalfarmmarketing.com. Spell that all out. 800-334-9779. 800-334-9779. We'll catch up with John again next week. Tomorrow, we are going to feature some folks just outside of Madison letting the farm equipment go. See you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The farm workforce is getting younger. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm, Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data? You guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. More and more young people are joining the workforce on America's farms and ranches. Marcia Salzwedel from the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety says the 875,000 youths employed in farm work now are mostly farm kids, but about 250,000 are off-farm hires.
And those numbers might be underestimates. We do know that the number of youth that are working both on farms and in general occupations has been going up. And we know that there's a lot of causes for that, not the least of which is the current labor shortages that we're experiencing in the U.S. You know, some of it's caused by the retiring baby boomers. We had quite a few deaths, especially of our older farmers and stuff during the COVID-19 pandemic. There's some tighter restrictions in immigration. So there's a lot of things that are contributing to the labor shortages that we're experiencing here. Also seeing a rise in the number of unaccompanied migrant children that are coming into the country. And also the COVID-19 pandemic kind of worsened the poverty and economic insecurity of a lot of families. And so some of those kids are starting to take on jobs now to help support their families as well.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Another breakthrough in the Middle East as Israel and Hamas agreed to 2 more days of a ceasefire, raising hopes that more hostages will be released.
President Biden saluting the leaders of Egypt.